welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 21, and we are the podcast that every week picks apart pop culture and media that we like, no takebacks. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here by my co-host,
Tyler.
And I know that everybody was really sad that we were gone for a week.
Yeah, all those Twitter messages, people were like, what am I going to do with my life now that we don't have Make It Sound Fiction this week? This week isn't even worth it. Yeah.
We just got so many comments. We really tried, you guys. We're really so sorry, but we had to cover BlizzCon for the site that we both work for, Blizzard Watch. We did some streaming, and Tyler did the hard stuff, like writing. I didn't have to do that. I just took a couple days off work. It was very nice.
I think it was weird because I think we both kind of assumed we would probably do it, and then we didn't because it was just like,
yeah.
There was a lot. There was already enough this week. Because it lines up because BlizzCon is Friday, Saturday. And so Saturday I had to do things like pretty much right after we would record. So it was kind of tough.
Yeah, we streamed on Friday when the WoW Classic demo happened. And I usually stream on Saturdays, and then we go right into podcast recording. And we just figured because Tyler had to cover stuff all day and we were streaming, we figured let's just give ourselves a break. We are both two working people. Doing a podcast every week is also a lot of work, especially for Tyler, who has to edit the show. So I figured that, you know, we'll give us a week off. And that's probably going to happen from time to time, which is completely fine because we are adults and we do this podcast for free. Around our day jobs, our respective day jobs. So sometimes it's going to happen. And it's fine because it did give us a week to kind of, marinate on our BlizzCon feelings. Which is funny.
It's funny because I haven't actually completely caught up on watching some of the, like, the virtual ticket stuff. Like,
exactly.
I still kind of wanted to... I got, like, most of the way through, like, a WoW Q&A, but I didn't finish that.
I
was going to watch the Diablo thing, too.
Yeah, I wanted to watch the Diablo thing because that was actually a hot topic this week.
Yeah, a hot topic that I just don't really get. I mean, I get it, it's stupid.
It is. Because on the one side, you have people who are very rightfully upset about the fact that mobile games typically tend to be very predatory with monetization options.
And they're simplistic sometimes compared to like a PC game.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you had people who were very upset that Blizzard fumbled the PR game with, not announcing Diablo 4, but instead announcing mobile game.
There was a
game.
Report that maybe they were going to announce Diablo 4, but didn't.
Mm-hmm. But didn't. I think we're in the third camp that doesn't care.
We both already don't really care about Diablo that much, I think, right?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, like, I like playing it, but that's about where...
Yeah, but we're not like, gosh, can't wait for Diablo 4. I've been, like, following every news.
It'll happen when it happens. Yeah. That's the thing, is it's... I think you and I are of the position where video games will come out when they come out. And after everything that we've talked about, especially since our last episode about Red Dead... and about Rockstar and Telltale, I feel like despite the fact that both of us seem to be pretty conscious about like the labor that goes into stuff, that I've become even more conscious about the labor that goes into stuff. So, man, Diablo 4 will come out when Diablo 4 is ready.
I also think that I was saying this to you a few weeks ago. I was saying, like, I think it was around the time that people were, like, they were talking about announcing stuff at Diablo, and I said, or announcing stuff at BlizzCon about Diablo. And I was saying, like, I kind of feel like playing a Diablo game on my phone.
Yes.
And I was, like, looking around on Reddit and, like, websites to find, like, what's the best, like, Diablo clone on the phone. On your phone, and like there are some, there's definitely some, but a lot of them are either like you got to pay for or like you have energy, you know, like you can only do certain things, or they're like kind of buggy and like they are just not very good, or they're really rough. And I played one that was kind of rough. It's just a lot of them aren't very like snappy as Diablo is. And I was like kind of shocked because I was telling you that, because I was like, I'm surprised there's not just like essentially a torchlight on a phone. Because like torchlight basically came out at a time. Did that come out before Diablo 3? Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like torchlight was like, wasn't torchlight pretty popular because people were like, wow, another Diablo game basically.
And then Torchlight 2 came out as well after Diablo 3.
And it's
3.
Like, clearly you can make these types of games that are really good. I think both of those games are not
pretty
bad,
popular.
Right?
They're really good. I like Torchlight 2. They also have a couple of, like, Diablo, it feels like, picked up the, like, pet idea from Torchlight 2, actually.
Yeah.
Which
Torchlight
is,
1 had pets, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. And
I think that was kind of its thing. It was like, you can have a pet. Everybody has a pet.
Yeah. I like the Torchlight actually is a little bit more cute and fun than Diablo. Like, it's not as much like Doom and Gloom.
But clearly, like,
clearly,
people know how to make those games pretty well, and I'm just surprised it wasn't on the phone. So I was like, I kind of hope they announce a mobile one. So, like, I guess my expectation was, like, because there was a rumor that they were going to announce one, and they did, so I was kind of excited. Like, weirdly, I was like, cool, like, I actually totally want to play one of those right now. So I guess I just feel incredibly disconnected from the people who are really mad about it, because, I mean, I get why, because that's how gamers are all the time with, like, announcements they don't like. But I, you know, for me, I actually was, like, kind of into having a mobile Diablo, totally play Diablo Immortal. But, I mean, generally, like, I mean, like you said, they're not going to not make a Diablo 4. Like, come on. They're not going to make a fourth Diablo. There's a reason they didn't call. If they called the mobile game Diablo 4, maybe I can understand how people could be more mad, or mad as they are. They did not call it Diablo 4. It takes place, it's like a prequel to the current stuff. And, like, yeah, they didn't announce. Didn't they say, like, in an interview or at a Q&A that, like, we have more projects to announce? So, you know, they're basically saying, like, yeah, we're working on the other game, but we can't really say it right now.
But it's such a big game. It's got to be such a big game. And it's, I mean, Blizzard has been one of those studios where stuff will come out when it's ready to come out. They actually do take their time on stuff. I can't comment very well on, like, what that requires on a labor aspect. But it takes them a long time. I remember how long it took for Diablo 3 to come out.
Diablo 3 took a while.
I remember every single year I went to BlizzCon until 2012, I sat in some iteration of a D3 panel because my feet were tired. So maybe, like, let's say 4 years. Some iteration of a Diablo 3 panel where they were just revising, and every year it was something different. Every
year
the Diablo
3
systems panel. It did. It did.
I think it did, yeah.
Because they had to they completely overhauled the systems for the game. Like, they had runes at one point. So think of, like, you know how you pick abilities in Diablo 3? Originally they were going to try and do, like, a talent tree sort of system instead.
Oh, because what they ended up with was, like, abilities, but then, like, rune modifiers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They originally were more of, like, a talent tree
situation.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Because I'm sure that game was in development, like, closer to Diablo 2, probably. Like,
yeah, like, 10 years.
I'm sure, like, conceptual ideas were going around, because Diablo 2 is popular, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say 10 years. Maybe, like, 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. Well, because even, you know, what essentially became Overwatch Titan, that was in development for a really long time, and they basically scrapped most of it.
So, they don't have a problem doing that, so.
Yeah.
I get
that people want a new Diablo game, and I get that they don't want the mobile one, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand, too, how, like, the teasing about announcements at BlizzCon, and it's, like, a PC event, and, you know, it's Blizzard's, like, core audience there, so they're announcing a mobile game seems a little weird, but...
No, they dropped a ball a little bit with PR, but gamers are just so entitled. My God. It's just, there are so many other games you can play, guys. Like, but we know that Blizzard in particular makes games that have a very devoted fan base because they're all persistent games. Every yeah. single game that Blizzard makes is designed to be like the one game you play over and over and over yeah. again. So people want the new stuff that's just a continuation of the old stuff. So that's WoW expansions, that's right. new heroes and maps in Overwatch, that's new cards and adventures in Hearthstone, and that's a new Diablo. So I understand that, but man, after spending years in the Blizzard fandom, I'm so over it. Like, I'm so over yeah. people being that angry about stuff because, like, play some other games.
Watch There's other movie. Diablo. We just said Torchlight and Torchlight 2. One of those is free for Discord people, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Discord Nitro. Like, just. Yeah,
I mean, free you know, with quotations.
Like, if you
yeah.
need the fix of something else, just, like, watch a movie, play another Diablo.
Yeah,
like,
there was
game,
that, like, vampire game that is, or Dracula, or whatever it was that was, like. it's a Diablo game on Steam, I think, that people mm-hmm. like. Like, there's a bunch. And even I'm Path
there's
of Exile.
Like Path
there's
of Exile.
That's free
yeah,
to
Path
play.
Of,
so.
Yeah, Path of Exile. There's, I know that there's other games that are similar, like ARPGs. There's just, yeah. there's a lot of ARPGs.
There's stuff
out
there. And there's even stuff that isn't even an ARPG that you might like that is yeah. on. I don't know. There's stuff, and you, like, I just, I don't know. Like, I was trying to think of an example of like a series that announced something that I wasn't like super into and probably and didn't like or didn't play, but I wasn't like mad about it. But I don't know. I mean, it feels like it happened to me in the past where mm-hmm. there's been like a new announcement for something and I've just been like, eh.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
into that, but you know, there's other things.
There always is other things. Yeah. And I think it's just kind of a like just people kind of need to grow up. Like,
yeah,
it'll be okay. It'll be okay.
And I think they just get this assumption that because Blizzard is like on forums and they have Q&As that they're really allowed to feel that way or like be very vocal about the way they feel about this, especially when you have a guy at the Q&A asking if it's like an April Fool's joke.
That
who like even lied
dick.
To the question screener before asking it. Like,
there are
because
just
he
so
believes
many
he's
dicks.
Doing like the right, you know?
Yeah, there's yeah. so many dicks in the WoW community and in the Blizzard community in general. And, like, for years after Eyes of the Beast or whatever was taken out of World of Warcraft, somebody would go up and ask a question about it every
yeah.
single year. Year the, after year.
The guy
like,
who asked the Diablo question, like, immediately went to Reddit and was like, I'm the guy that asked that, like, April Fool's thing, like, AMA, basically. Like, I'm cool, right, guys? Like, I was funny. And
yeah.
it's just like, no, you're really rude, and you yeah. lied to, like, I don't know, like, you should have been kicked out of the, like, event.
You should have. Yeah, like, and I, like, it's these kinds of things that kind of have been coming up more and more lately, is, like, it feels like this really symbiotic relationship of being dicks, where the game industry, the marketing at least, has fostered this kind of entitled behavior.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, it's like gamers feeling that entitled and then taking it to this like nth degree. Like Diablo developers were literally getting harassed on Twitter and
yeah.
social media and stuff like that.
I'm sure,
which is like,
well, I don't know. I'm sure there was probably worse than that even too. Who
oh,
knows?
I'm absolutely yeah. 100% sure. Like, you know. So, you know, that was a good part of Diablo, of like
that
BlizzCon.
Was something that just like we weren't, I feel like we didn't talk to each other that much like in voice chat about this, but we just
yeah.
there was definitely like, you know, on the site we were for a lot of people talking about it, and then just on Twitter
oh
Diablo.
And people wrote articles
yeah.
about it and
yeah.
were like, well, this is how I feel about this whole thing, and there had to be takes about it, and I was just like, oh my god, you either play the mobile game,
I'm on the gamer side of this one.
Oh gosh, what happened to you, Tyler? Like, play the mobile game or don't, and we could definitely have a discussion about, because I didn't get to watch a lot of videos about
I barely know much about the actual game. I'm excited because I want a Diablo game on my phone.
Yeah, I don't know what the monetization options
yeah.
are, and that's a concern.
Yeah,
that could be annoying. That could be annoying. The only thing is that typically if a game really kind of reveals itself to have predatory monetization options, I tend to just uninstall it immediately. Like,
yeah, it is a partnership with a company that already makes sort of monetized games like that I don't know if they're bad in that way, but they are definitely monetized. I forget, NetEase, I think, which is funny because when I was writing the story, NetEase owned Shanghai Dragons.
That, I mean, look at somebody like Tencent owns everything.
It's just kind of funny because, like, oh yeah, I was writing and I was like, I've heard NetEase before, and I was like, oh, it's the Shanghai Dragons.
I own an internet router by the company that owns or co-sponsors the Seoul Dynasty.
Yeah, because I mean, I have Comcast internet. Comcast owns one of the teams now.
Fusion?
Philadelphia? Yeah.
No. A power company owns Fusion. Oh.
Maybe Comcast is one of the new ones.
Maybe.
I don't remember. I wrote the words Comcast owns this team. But either way, like, I guess my point originally was that they're in a partnership with this company. So when you say it could be a problem with the monetization stuff, that is true, because it's not just Blizzard. Because I was going to say, Blizzard's usually good. Like, you look at Hearthstone, it's not that horrible. Like, yes, you got to buy cards, I guess, and new expansions and
stuff. A lot of people have said that Overwatch is extremely predatory. And I don't know, because it's all, like...
It's hard. Yeah, I feel so hard. I feel hard to say anything about
it's
that. Because
cosmetics.
Or feel like
it's
we put so much
cosmetics.
Time in the game. Like, you know, I have an account that has, like, every single item in the game. Like,
yeah.
It's hard. I feel like, yeah, it does kind of, like, it takes a long time to get credits to get, like, a legendary skin.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. But they're all cosmetic. Like, I don't know.
Whereas a lot of the things that I find the most predatory, and I know we're definitely splitting hairs, so if you want to, like, email me and yell at me, it's totally fine. The things that I actually find the most predatory are me seeing my friends fall into these, like, gacha games.
Oh, yeah.
That are, like, just at the very core, like, match 3 games. But then they have all this complexity around them with, like, what heroes you get and can roll. And then, like, they only happen during a certain time period. And you get these crystals so you can buy them.
I'm going to play Fire Emblem Heroes.
And then you take these other heroes and, like, feed them to the other hero to, like, power up the I have heard of so many gacha games that just operate that, and I don't understand it at all, because that seems mind-bogglingly complicated for what you're actually playing as a video game. And on top of that, it seems like it costs so much money to do anything, and all you're doing is getting, like, high resolution JPEGs of, like, sexy characters or something. That whole thing makes zero sense to me. So, you know what? Overwatch compared to that,
I mean, if you compare it to stuff like that, yeah, I guess it's a very different platform, I would say.
It's a platform, but it makes no sense to me why people would play something that seems very simple on the surface, but adds all of this, like, additional complexity and then, like, money spending on top of that. Those games feel like will murder your wallet and your life.
Yeah.
Like, those are... I don't know.
With this Diablo game, I don't think it would be maybe annoying, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be stuff where it's, like, pay Diablo bucks for, like, a XP boost for an hour.
Extra legendary
faster movement speed or something, you know, like, I could see stuff like that, which I personally don't think that's that bad. But if it's ever stuff where it's like, ooh, this legendary sword or whatever is in this pack that you can buy and it's really strong or whatever, hopefully they don't do that. But
they
if they
might.
Do like XP boosts and stuff, whatever, I mean, that as long as the normal XP is not, you know, horrible.
I have a feeling that items will be, because remember the real money auction house in Diablo 3 before they took it out, that was one of the only ways to get a decent weapon.
Think you'll actually have to pay real money for that stuff? It won't be like XP boosts and like item drop rate boosters.
I mean, will it be XP? Yeah, no, I actually think that too. 100% think that too. But
because weapons will make people irritated, I feel like, because the real money auction house did.
I I don't put it out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah,
let's
no,
just
I
put
could
it that
see,
way.
I see what your point is. I could see that too, but gosh, that would be, that would make people really mad.
Or cosmetic dyes. I can all.
I could see dyes.
Also,
yeah. I could see dyes. I could see XP boosts. I could even see things where it's like tokens to do a randomized like high level dungeon thing.
Yeah.
Like the rifts or whatever they're called.
It's a lot of the quality of life changes in Diablo 3 were like removing the need to like buy the cosmetic color dyes.
Yeah.
And removing.
They did a really good job at making that stuff
like making
better.
NPCs that are like easy to like just change your look and like re-roll things for stats and things like that. I have a feeling that those are very easy inroads to monetization in a Diablo mobile game though. Like, and that sucks because that's the fun part about Diablo is looking good and killing things
fast. It's all loot.
So,
yeah, so.
It's all loot. So, you know, we'll have to see.
We'll see. When that comes out. We both haven't even seen how it actually plays. So, but.
Yeah, because we weren't at BlizzCon physically, so we couldn't try it. Because they actually did have, I think they had demo stations with phones and stuff.
Yeah,
like
there's like previews of it, and I think we even have one, but yeah, so.
Yeah, so. What else happened? Like, I didn't pay any attention to like World of Warcraft stuff.
Yeah, I watched the World of Warcraft stuff. We're gonna kill Sylvanas. I mean, they didn't say that, but there's no way. Like,
but you leave no woman unkilled in World of Warcraft.
I feel like, I mean, they said, I mean, who knows? You know, they said Ashara is a boss. Obviously you could kill her with quotations and she runs away or something, but, or defeat her or whatever. But yeah, I feel like we're just going to kill every woman that got like a Warbringers thing. Like, I don't know.
And we're running out of like, and we've talked about this on a past episode. We're running out of high level people to kill in World of Warcraft. So
yeah. Oh, the one interesting thing that we talked a little bit about, I think a while ago, back when we were talking about like BFA launch, I think with the leveling, somebody in the Q&A, I think this is something I keep forgetting to bring up to you, so I'm doing it now. Somebody said something about like, how do you feel about like the leveling experience and stuff? And they recently, just this week, in the PTR, decreased the leveling speed from like 1 to 100 and gosh, is it 120 now? I actually already forgot what like thing we're on. 120, right? Okay. They reduced the thing by like 40% roughly, I think. So it's like it's quite a bit faster, and like 40% like 60 to or like 1 to 60 or something like that. But anyway, they said that they are actually like really unhappy with the leveling experience, and they like, that's like one of their top priorities, is like making that better. And I hope this leveling like requirement thing that they did this week isn't just the only thing, because somebody also brought up again, like, what if we squish the levels? Like, what if we just make it to where 120 is actually level 60 again, like in terms of numbers, so that way like the leveling experience is faster? Because one thing he mentioned, I think, I forget who it was on the panel, they said they have a big issue right now where you, as you're leveling up in World of Warcraft right now, because of the way the leveling scaling works, you can like spend most of your like leveling experience in one area now because it scales, so you don't even like go anywhere new. And so they're like really working on actually making that a better experience overall, and that might include completely changing what level everybody is at the max level, which I think that would be a really interesting change. But they're still really worried about people being like upset that they're not, like the number in the corner is not 120 anymore. But I thought that was interesting just because I don't know if any other MMO has ever like paid that much attention to the leveling stuff, because like a lot of them haven't been around as long. So it's interesting to see Blizzard have to tackle their old content, because it's always this huge road to their new content. And I just think it's, I don't know, it was the thing we were talking about before, was just like the leveling experience feels weird, because like I think they said in the panel that when, even in the new expansion, it feels like you're level 110 and then you're level 120. Like, there's not really like an in between, really. Like, nothing, none of the levels matter in between, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a story, but like, who cares about being level 116? So
it tends to be the level is the only time you care about the level, is that your level cap unlocks certain activities and dungeons and things like that. My concern was just the power scaling from 120. Yeah. You know, 110
to 120.
I think that
would have to tie into it, because I think if you squish the levels, the power scaling has got to feel less like minor, because it would be shorter, which might be good. It might be more satisfying. It's really weird to think. I don't know. It reminded me after the Diablo conversation, because Diablo always makes me think of a game that is like really, really acutely designed to feel rewarding.
Yeah. And, oh, no, absolutely. You know,
and so it's just interesting how WoW has sort of lost that in a lot of ways. You don't even get a talent point every level, which, you know, we were reminded in WoW Classic, the demo, that you got talent points. And yeah, there, it is like a 1% fireball, but it is something. And now you can go like four levels without getting anything. And I don't know. It's just, it's a weird design struggle that I'm like curious to see how they actually solve it, because it seems like a massive, maybe not a massive undertaking, but it's like, this is a lot of content that you have to like form to like fit, to be sad, to be like compelling, even though you haven't like touched it for years, you know, like you're just messing with numbers. You haven't actually like changed, like the Burning Crusade content feels old still, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting to see. And they talked about it a little bit. But anyway, I'm a nerd, I guess, because I'm just curious how they actually, even though I don't even level up that much, like I don't level a bunch of characters. It's still interesting.
Yeah. I found, funny you mentioned WoW Classic. We also tried that out, which was a reminder to me of how far WoW has come.
Yeah. It's a slow, grueling experience that I thought it was going to be. I wasn't really that surprised, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, WoW Classic's an old game where everything's slow. Because, I mean, back then, wouldn't you argue that, like, back then, honestly, a lot of the World of Warcraft, the draw wasn't really the end game. It was just leveling up and seeing the world. And that's sort of what that game was.
End game was... It's complicated, because...
Yeah. I mean, I know the end game had amazing stuff, but it just feels like most people found that game fascinating because it was like you were leveling up and going to wildly different places in this world with other people.
No, it's just the fact that it was a world you could explore. It didn't matter. The leveling wasn't the part of that. I mean, it was so long. The leveling experience
was
so long.
I think there's a level of feeling like, oh, I finally hit level 20 so I can go to this place now or whatever. Like,
maybe.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if you got to remember how it was situated in the history of like MMOs, is that the other MMOs prior to, with the exception of like EVE Online, and that's a very different kind of massively multiplayer experience.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah,
is that EverQuest and UO and things like that? Didn't let you have the like sense of three dimensional space to explore in quite the same way.
Yeah. Which is
And World of Warcraft did. There were no loading screens. Like there were just no loading screens. It felt like a seamless world. And
yeah,
I think that
even
that
though it was
draw.
Like obviously not seamless, like some of the transitions are hilarious, but like it still
worked. I mean like seamless, like you weren't hitting a loading screen every time you wanted to go to a zone. Every continent is its own server. So right. that's what I kind of meant. But like
But still, yeah. like, there was something too, like, oh, I'm in this snowy area, and now I'm in this dry, arid desert area or whatever. Like, it felt like you're going through a bunch of different, like, scenes, and it was, I remember that, at least, from playing.
It felt huge.
That time. Yeah, it felt so big, because it was like, oh, I didn't even know that this giant, like, Black Rock Mountain area, I wonder what that is, because I was just in, like, my little, like, starting area or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, like, you start in these, like, really small starting areas, and then you just start to see, like, things beyond, like, you can see zones. I mean, obviously, people's draw distance weren't that big back
Still,
then.
Still, though, you could see stuff.
You
like
could see
Stormwind
another
even,
zone
you know?
From standing in one zone, and that was just not a thing that you could do in video games up until that point. Like, the first character I ever rolled in World of Warcraft, and I had not played video games that much prior to World of Warcraft for a very long time, so this was, like, very new to me. I rolled a Night Elf, and I leveled her up. imagine what a mind fuck it was to look out over an ocean because you were on top of a giant tree. Like, that was mind blowing in a way that no other game has ever touched. Like, and so it's interesting that they're offering WoW Classic to people, because you're never going to have that feeling ever again. That feeling is never going to come back. Yeah, now
it would just be like, oh, I remember that moment when I looked over the tree or out from the tree and saw it, but that's not what, I already know that this is normal.
Yeah.
Like, it's only going to be nostalgia. I mean, I think it's nostalgia. I still think that that game is going to end up just being people going for, like, you know, world firsts in that context. You know what I mean? Like, I assume Method is going to have a guild that is going to run for, like, you know, world first, you know, Molten Core, getting the AQ thing, title, whatever, opening the gates. Like, I just think that, like, other than that, it'll be people, like, I like how it's included in your current WoW subscription. Like, that's cool. It's not any more money. I just feel like it'll be something I might, like, randomly play here and there, but I'm sure there'll be people who will only play that, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to be something that is worth spending huge amounts of time in versus anything new. I don't know.
It's an interesting vacation, but there's so much about vanilla. The things I remember the most about vanilla were not the fucking talent trees.
Yeah.
Or the fact that everything was hard and difficult and obscure almost and destructive. All the time.
Yeah.
Almost dying, being out of mana. Like, those are not the things that I really walked away from vanilla with. It was like getting to see, you know, Eastern Plaguelands for the first time and getting to go see a raid for the first time, or, you know, silly stuff like that. But if so much of that is gated behind having to do all of that shit again, I don't fucking care. Don't care. Half of what I did instead of leveling in vanilla was, like, getting into places I wasn't supposed to with exploring. And they took all that stuff out for that client. Did. So then I don't care. I don't fucking care. Like, it'll be fun, I guess, to, like, I don't know. I don't know what would be fun about it, actually.
Yeah, like, the problem is you have to do so much leveling to do any of the end game stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the stuff I missed out on. I didn't do any of that stuff, but I love
it. Who wants to try and organize 40 people to go to Molten Core?
Because I thought they would do little things that were, like, optional and lesser compared to the old one, where you could have less than 40 people to do Molten Core, but no, it's straight up the same thing.
Yeah.
Which so I get because it's accurate.
It's
got to
be,
like,
the original, but
sucks.
No one's got time for that Blizzard.
Yeah, like the reason you like Blizzard. Do you remember when you made that design decision to have, like, flex raids and having looking for raid and stuff like that? Like,
because that's where we're that's the era of gaming we're in now. Is like 40 player raids made sense when there was, like, one or two MMOs. And everybody had free time. Social media didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
And we all were not 30 in our 30s.
Like, there's something about WoW Classic that makes me a little, like, worried that we're, like, for some reason going backwards and thinking it's really cool. I guess it's sort of like remakes. But it ends up being, like, this is the reason we left this stuff behind. Because even, like, Classic WoW, you know, has its own issues to like that, but also just I don't know if this is, like, something that Blizzard should be putting a bunch of resources into, because they clearly are.
Yeah,
and
but
it's weird.
If it gets rid of the people who really, really die hard want to, like, spend all their time in vanilla WoW because they think it's better, then I guess they can go. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it does feel really weird that most of the people who are, like, super championing for Classic WoW were tied super directly into, like, Gamergate and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
one
that's
kind of
what I was thinking when I said
one of the big proponents of WoW Classic, in order to, like, legitimize it versus, like, playing on private servers, was, like, that, like, what's his face? Mark
Kern?
Kern?
Yeah.
Who's, like, a big failed developer, ex-Diablo developer. Yeah,
he's always talking about whatever on Twitter.
Irrelevant shitbag.
Yeah.
Hentai liker. I don't know, some shit like that. He, you know, like, I thought it was really an interesting rhetorical move to be like, well, if you don't want us to illegally use all of your IP on private servers, then you have to give us WoW Classic. And I'm just like, okay.
God. Yeah.
I can't believe they kept inviting him to the studio to, like, talk as if it was legitimate. Like, that, whatever.
I mean, yep.
They legitimize that point of view so much. And it's like, but you know what? If they go off and play WoW Classic and don't bother me anymore, then go off and go play in your little, like,
playpen. I just get worried when, like, during that Q&A, they're like, yeah, like, WoW Classic's the real game. Like, oh no. Like, okay. And so we're going to wink at all these people now.
Yes. And that's because those sorts of people also work for Blizzard.
Right. So yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, oh no, okay. Like, yeah, if it gets rid of those people, I agree. But I don't like pandering to them, I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yep.
The last BlizzCon thing we care about, I guess, would be a new Overwatch hero that shoots a gun.
A gun?
Yeah. A rifle.
So yeah, Overwatch did get a new hero named Ashe with an E, and she is.
She doesn't have a bow. It's not that one.
She
doesn't
have a bow. She has two guns.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, she got two guns because she's rich. So as part of the reunion short that
with McCree,
that came with McCree, we got introduced to his old gang, the Deadlock gang, also now known as, like, the Deadlock Rebels, I guess.
Yeah, they, like, just added another name, which is unaware.
Yeah, like, I don't... Did they, like, rebrand?
Overwatch lore, yeah.
Was this, like, a public relations campaign? Like, newer, better Deadlock gang. Ashe is one of the... I think the only... She is the only hero so far that has an ult that spawns an entirely new hero alongside her.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. Yeah.
To the game's, like, code, it understands her almost code as, like, another hero pretty much. Like,
yeah.
To the point of, like, his name is Bob. He's, like, an Omnic robot guy. He can contest and, like, capture objectives, like payloads and stuff. So that, like,
and he can
that's
also
what we mean
be,
when he's, like, another hero.
Yeah, he can be healed, nanoed, stunned, slept. Like, for all intents and purposes, he is a hero that is out for 6 seconds, can contest. Has an AI brain, so he's not the smartest.
Yeah, he's like a turret. He'll, like, go out and knock people up and then turn around and shoot a bunch.
Yeah.
He's kind of stupid, but he's, like, you know, he's got a lot of health and he does a lot of damage for a turret kind of thing. So
because he's an ult, yeah.
Yeah, he's an ult, yeah.
So
it's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. That is actually the most interesting part of that character.
Unfortunately.
Whereas, like, Ashe, on the other hand, she is kind of like a, like you said, a mid range, like, hit scan.
Yeah, character. She's got a rifle, she can scope in, but it's not as much as, like, a Widowmaker scope. It's kind of sort of like an aim down sights kind of thing, like you'd see in other games like Destiny and, you know, Call of Duty and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then
has a coach gun.
She has a coach gun, which is like a basically like a sawed off shotgun kind of thing, right? Like
that can do rocket jumping and so it's got a con.
Yeah, it pushes people back and does a lot of damage. She also has her dynamite, which is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. It's like a thrown piece of dynamite and then you can shoot it out of the air or it'll just go off after a certain amount of time and it does like an explosion damage and then it does like damage over time via like setting people on fire.
So
which similar. Health packs cleanse too, just like Widowmine. I don't know if everybody knows that, but I figured that out quickly.
You can just
cleanse and bubbles and fading from Moira or Reaper also cleanse it. But so it's a lot of damage. It's clearly, like, they said in an interview with one of the, like, streamers that it was a response a little bit to GOATs because it used to do more damage, but it definitely, I was saying to Apple, because one of the really strong things against GOATs comp, which is essentially just a bunch of tanks in the game, a lot of beefy tanks and kind of, like, healers that aren't like, not like a Mercy, but like a Moira or like a Zenyatta, like some of the weaker healers, but the power of the comp is it's like so beefy, like it's got a lot of health and a lot of like you can just kind of run over your enemies.
Yeah,
it's really hard to stop. And with Dynamite, you can chuck it into that big group because they're always grouped up. You can chuck that into the group of them and shoot her, it'll go off or whatever, and they would all be on fire and taking that like massive damage, because if you hit the fire and the explosion damage, that's a lot of damage. So clearly it's a response to that. I wonder if hitting a really good like Dynamite throw that actually like hits a bunch of people, almost like an Ana anti-grenade thing, which prevents healing, you know, might be equal to that in terms of like you could probably kill the whole team.
Like, it's it could a disruption be really tactic. Yeah. Like, it's a disruption tactic. Like, I know that a really good grenade, especially when one of the opposing enemies has a big ability on cooldown, really can mess up people's day.
Yeah, it can win you a fight. Like, just a grenade. Absolutely. Like, usually, like, ultimate abilities win you fights in this game, or, like, getting really cool picks, like, really fast picks or whatever, or, like, headshots and stuff like that. But a grenade that just prevents healing for, like, a couple seconds can win you a fight.
Especially if people are already starting to get low.
Right.
Because so much of GOATS is, for people who don't know the terminology for Overwatch meta, GOATS is, what's it stand for?
I don't actually know what it stands for. It's the name of that team, and I don't know what it stands
for. Oh, I thought it was.
I'm sure it probably stands for something for the team, but it's named after the team.
Oh, because one I thought of those it was an acronym.
It might be. I think you're right, but I think the team came up with the acronym for their team, and then it's just called that after the team. Because one of the team members that was on GOATS is on the, like, Atlanta whatever.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, no, it stands for Go All Tank and Support.
Okay, yeah, because that was the team name, because I think they wanted to, like, they, like, figured it the comp out and then ran it as a team, and then they call it GOATS comp.
Yeah. The team, apparently, according to Reddit, the team is called GOATS, but it basically stands for Go All Tanks and Support.
I think their thing was like, we're going to make a team and run this stupid comp.
Yeah, basically what it is you run 3 tanks, 3 support.
Yeah.
Typically, you want to go support that has high mobility, so...
like Lucio Zen is usually what you go.
Lucio Zen and Bridget... Bridget and Lucio are the fulcrum of this. Like, Bridget because of passive healing, Lucio because of passive healing and speed. Typically, there's also a Moira in there because she also does offensive damage. But
Zen's the better comp than Moira.
Moira Zen. If you need a little bit more healing, you go Moira. If you need a little bit more damage, you go Zen.
But the thing with Moira. GOATS comps, because Moira her heal goes through people, right? So it heals multiple people at the same time, and that GOATS comp wants to stick together, and it's a bunch of tanks, and tanks in this game are really big,
especially with armor.
Yeah, especially with armor. So one of the things is like if an enemy Ana hits an anti grenade, then suddenly Moira's healing and Bridget's healing and Lucio's healing don't do anything, you know. So you can easily kill all those tanks without that healing. But I just wonder if Dynamite will effectively be that. It'll deal so much damage that maybe it'll be effectively, you know, like the same amount of like damage, even like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you anti people, they basically, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it's hard. Like, we both played her on the PTR a little bit. Like, it's hard to really play her in real games. You can kind of get a sense for what she does, but you know, who knows what, you know, how she'll work out in actual games.
Yeah. It's the funny part about Ashe is really, for me, not about her gameplay at all, actually. It's that she is, from boring. A character standpoint, very boring.
Yeah.
We have a second cowboy cosplayer in our game, which is the least of all of the problems. But also the fact that we have yet another body normative white woman who is apparently in her 30s, like she's in her 30s.
She looks so young. Yeah,
she's like 39, doesn't look that old. She doesn't look tired, which is funny because I look tired all the time. And also already kind of inflames this problem that the fandom has had with the game for a really long time, which is that we have now gotten several heroes that are not black women, like, and that's been a big deal. Like, we got Hammond, who's a sentient animal, just like Winston. We have Ash, who is a cowboy cosplayer, just like McCree. So it feels like they're already starting to run out of ideas. And yeah, then on top well, of that...
And they keep saying that this idea, like, Ash was a character in the short, and they're like, wait, we should make her a hero. And that is disappointing, because it's like...
Yeah.
That decision, someone's like, we're making this character that is similar to McCree, because that's how the lore is. Like, they worked together. And we're like, hey, we should just make her a hero. I don't know. It's yeah. like, I don't know. I know, I guess, obviously, she was still a person that was created for a short. But to me, that says, like, oh, no, like... Somebody was like, we should actually do all of the work, the 150 people, to make this a hero, instead of somebody way more interesting and unique. We're gonna go with this white girl that is already like similar to somebody we already have. And in the panel about creating her, they kept saying like she was really close to McCree, so we wanted to differentiate her. Maybe that should have been
a heads up
of like, huh, maybe we shouldn't just like should just not have this character. Yeah. I don't know.
She also, I mean, like, aside from the sort of diversity sort of thing, she also, I feel like, plays in such a way that is bringing in more traditional FPS people.
Yeah, which continues our theory of, like, this game is just becoming more skill-based and
skill,
the stuff we wanted to play.
Very narrow ideas of skill. But I actually feel like including another woman in the game who is white is the most egregious offense, just because when Overwatch came, I don't want to go too deep into it because I'm currently writing something and I don't want to spill all my genius ideas out here. But the long and short of it is that when Overwatch first came out in 2016, they cleared a very low bar in terms of like saying that they wanted to create a game that sort of represented this utopic world vision of like, you know, every like different countries and like different ethnicities and things like that. But yet we got another skinny white girl in the game, which, I mean, full disclosure, I'm a white girl, but it is really egregious that we've seen little glimpses here and there in the world, in the comics, in the shorts of black women existing. And we have black guy characters in the game, which also
have their own issues. Yeah.
Have their own issues, like embodying a lot of stereotypical stuff. And yet we just have no black women.
I was saying this to you. I was just like, where was the creativity when we came up with Anna? Like, I know she's not black, but you know what I mean? Like, someone was like, let's have an older, like, Egyptian
mother
lady. Yeah.
Who's a mother and speaks Arabic.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big
all the time, like not even just
deal.
Her ultimate, like some of the other characters, she says
she has
it just normally. Like,
all of her lines, like most of her lines, are in Arabic.
Yeah,
and it's a character. Like, yes, this is a shooting game, and so if you're on the enemy team, you're going to be killing Anna. But she is a hero of equal importance to other characters who speaks Arabic and isn't just nameless brown person.
Yeah,
who. And appears she's like, Muslim.
A lot of people
think like, kill.
Everybody thinks she's cool. Like, she's one of the most popular heroes, I would
she
say.
Is.
Like, I'm not saying that's the reason, but you know what I mean? Like, clearly you can do something like that is abnormal for shooters or video games in general.
Or video games in general.
You know, and
moms.
People can think it's really rad. And
yeah,
for like some reasons, ever since Anna, well, I mean, I guess Sombra, but like, it just seems like we've lost that. Like courage to have interesting characters in Overwatch.
It feels like they've lost the ability to think very far in terms of character concepts when they gave themselves the entire world to play around with.
Yeah, like that's the actual concept of Overwatch is like we get to have the entire world as like our playground for different characters and settings. Mm-hmm. And we're limited to the stuff that is just connected to who we already have and like just like same types of characters,
which is interesting because I think the base game characters have started out kind of limited. Like,
yeah,
Pharah doesn't have any Arabic lines, but nope, her mom still does. Doesn't.
Yeah.
She still doesn't. And it felt like maybe they were moving in a more interesting direction with Anna and you know, Sombra to some degree. But, like, then it just, like, falls really short every other place. Like, with some of the skin choices that they came out with, some of the sort of implications with, like, different lines that people have said in the game.
Yeah.
The fact that Farrah's, like, ethnicity has been retconned to, like, make up for the fact that they made extremely racist indigenous skins for her that are, like, mashups of things. Like,
they have added more, like voice lines and stuff to the different characters, like
in their like original their, like
yeah.
like Symmetra and Lucio and Anna all got like additional, you know, lines in you know, Arabic, and
Mercy got more like lines too, I think, and like waving. I don't know, like,
but Symmetra's was a big one. Symmetra
I don't understand why Farrah doesn't have any, to be honest, but
me either, because they went in and redid Symmetra. And got the, I'm trying to remember, because I don't think Symmetra's lines are in Urdu. They're in Telugu? Teluga? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because there's several different regional dialects of the, there's several regional dialects of the language that is spoken in India.
Yeah.
And she speaks one of them.
One of those. I don't remember.
Which one it is.
Yeah.
But I thought that them going back and re-recording those was actually like a really big deal, especially because Symmetra doesn't get. Well, because
one thing when you do add like ultimate lines, it should be noted like the enemy says the like that like in a different like not in English, but then also you as the player hear that ultimate line in that version too, like which is neat, because then you like then it becomes like really prominent even if you play the character, like it's not just only against them, which is cool. So
yeah, it's I think it's really good because so many people in video games don't get to see that represented.
Yeah.
Like, it's Telugu. That's what it is. Okay.
I guess the thing that's just disappointing is, like, there's stuff in Overwatch, even from the beginning, but also even recently, kinda, like the changes to the voice lines or at addition, that says that is important. But then when we get new characters, it's not clearly from like, and it sucks because new characters are such a big moment for the game. Cause that's like, I don't know, that's probably like the biggest thing that game, other than maps, right? Like that's the biggest thing the game ever gets, because those can, I mean, like Bridget is a new hero that came out and like she changed the way the game works in some ways. Like, and we get a new hero that is just like, if it's like Ashe, that's just really disappointing because there's just.
She doesn't show any growth.
And I guess it's just frustrating because it's like they have given themselves the opportunity to do whatever they want. It's not like they're working on some weird, like, bad limited fiction. They're working with, like, the entire world in the future with, like, all these made up, like they could do whatever they want and they just choose Ashe. Mm-hmm. They don't even have like a stupid excuse, I guess. Not that the excuse would be like, would make sense. You know, like, obviously that would have its own issues, but they don't even have any excuse. They could just have a character that is different than Ashe, but they don't. And they say, like, yeah, we have six more heroes, but, like, I'm losing confidence that they're going to be interesting. Because we got a hamster the last time.
Yeah, I know that Nathan Grayson from Kotaku actually
asked about it. Yeah, about asked Jeff Kaplan, the game director.
Asked Jeff Kaplan about it.
I'm like saying Jeff now. Anyway, he asked Jeff Kaplan about having a black character. Like, why aren't there any? Right?
Yeah, and
his answer was so stupid.
It really was. Like,
I forget what it was. It was something. Wasn't it just something like, it was something like. I don't remember now.
I actually have it pulled up right now.
Okay, good. Okay. It was like a non-answer, basically.
Yeah, it's...
Wasn't it just something like, we want the game to be diverse or whatever?
We absolutely... Well, okay, so senior software engineer Julie Ann Bram said, we absolutely have intentions for a really diverse cast.
Oh, okay,
but,
I thought that was
Jeff. But again, this came from cinematics, and she was just so special out of that wonderful cinematic.
Gosh, that's all they talked about at BlizzCon.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, you could have made a black woman in the fucking cinematic.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Yeah,
that's
you
a fucking
decided to
choice.
Make him a Cree cinematic. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but what Jeff Kaplan actually said.
Maybe I'm wrong. Well, maybe he didn't talk to Jeff.
I thought he did, though.
I thought he did, too, because I thought it was Jeff saying the
He said, I think if you look at the history of Overwatch, there has been such a wide variety of people that we've represented in the game. Game director Jeff Kaplan told Kotaku at BlizzCon last weekend, we have no shortage of heroes that we are currently working on secretly back in Irvine. Right now, I think the number is around 6 that we have in development. Yeah. I don't think people are going to be disappointed. I think there's... I don't want to say something for everyone, because 6 is not something for everyone. There are a lot more people who walk planet Earth than that. But I don't think people will be disappointed. We have a lot of really cool, interesting characters that are going to come out over the next few years.
Yeah, Jeff is also the person that said, like, Farrah was always, like, Native American or whatever.
And I'm like, that's awesome bullshit.
Okay.
I just... Okay, yes, granted, Overwatch is never going to, nor should it, you know, because I think there's a certain level of, like, room in the game. Like, I think we have opinions about Overwatch, including too many heroes.
Yeah.
But that being said, it is a very obvious omission that there are no black women in the game.
Yeah, especially when, like you said, they've shown... like characters like that in shorts, like, or in maybe just the one short, or I don't know,
maybe concepts a comic for but... Mercy was originally a black guy.
Yeah.
There was a darker skin concept for Ashe that was shown as
right.
And the reasons that why this stuff gets scrapped is, like, well, I heard the, like, darker skin Ashe was actually scrapped because it was, the color palette was too similar to McCree.
To McCree,
and I was just,
like, yeah, that's what they said at the panel.
And I was like, that's a galaxy brain statement right there. Like,
even when they have their own issues with McCree's skin color.
My thing is like, if you are saying, like, they're just such non-answers. They're just like a... And it's like, black women are so underrepresented in games in general. Like, black people in general are underrepresented in games. And showing black people in a way that's, like, interesting and entertaining and naturalistic and not offensive is so rare. But black women in particular... They're,
Overwatch is such a special place too, because it's not like it's like a character that you play in Call of Duty that is interchangeable. Like, Overwatch
heroes
are very
with
unique,
their own story,
and they have
and
their
language,
own, backgrounds and language, and like they, in the game itself, like as a random player that maybe doesn't usually care about this stuff, you are picking that person for a reason. Like, you want to be. I don't know. There's so much like feeling of kind of embodying the character in some ways when you pick a hero in Overwatch that is so important to Overwatch. Mm-hmm. So it's like, gosh, like if you just did something like that, that would be so big. Like, that would be like for games, because we just, even if we do get something like that, it's usually like Call of Duty saying, like, you can play as girls now. And it's like, okay, but it's like the same, like there's nothing really that special about it, but okay.
Other than I do like playing girls
that's cool,
no,
they're doing that, but
you want a character that you're going to love. I want to see a black woman in Overwatch that I am going to love just as much as I love Ana, just as much as I love Mercy, just as much as I love anything else, because that's one of the big things about representation, is not only do you get to see people see themselves as being worthy of stories and love and respect and, like, inclusion, you also get people who aren't that identity seeing those characters as worthy of
it's
love,
like, empathetic
and respect
in a way,
yeah,
in some level, you know.
you know, in a small way that, you know, in a small way that media does. And it's not the be all and end all. It's not going to end systemic racism or misogyny or whatever.
But there, it's a small thing that is like, it's really cool to play Anna and know who she is, you know, and her hearing those, like, those voice lines. Like, it's like, oh, yeah. That's who I am. I'm Anna. Like, I'm Anna Amari. Like, I'm not just, like, some white dude. I'm not Soldier 76.
Yeah, you know? I'm a mom, and I'm disabled, and I'm, you know, I speak Arabic. And it's, like, it's just a way to embody that character. And it means a great deal to, for the people, it means a great deal to. And for everybody else, it's normalizing that experience. It's normalizing hearing people speak Arabic. It's normalizing,
like, imagine that, if that it's normal again. I was just thinking, like, imagine if, you know, it was a black woman or something, like a hero, and, like, you know, BlizzCon with the giant, you know, animated short that's beautiful, like all their shorts are so good looking. Like, imagine all of that, like, work that would be put into a character like that they always do, and how cool that would be. You know,
and it has the capacity for that, and them just being unwilling to give, like, a definitive answer about that. Or it just is really unfortunate. And it's also unfortunate about the missteps that they've made along the way around the game and their inclusion in general. Like, I think the fair skins are really messed up, and I think the, you know, the skins with, like, Symmetra have been really messed up. And
they've even, like, done, like, the Year of the... You're the rooster stuff. Some of the sprays are weird with, like, Mercy.
Yeah.
And, like, Chinese. So, yeah. It's just,
it's really, I don't know. Like, it's so important for, it's just like, it's just, I just think about Anna, and I just think about
how big of a deal it felt because Anna is just,
it was such a big deal to see a woman who is in her 60s. You just don't see that in games. You don't see a mom. Moms do not survive in games. And to see a mom that was cool and awesome and older.
And there's nothing about her that is like, oh, she's old, so she's, like, bad at things, or she doesn't have another eye, so she's bad. Like, everything about her is just really cool and empowering and heroic, which is what it's supposed to be in Overwatch.
Yeah. And so in a small way, it's like, it just doesn't take, it doesn't take that much to develop something like this. It really doesn't. And it would mean the world to a lot of people. And I just, man,
Ash, you know, is just, it, I don't know that
it makes her feel so much more lackluster in that respect.
And it's weird because it's like they understood this on some level because of the way, like, oh, yeah, she was in the short, and oh, yeah, she's another hero that's based around her gun. You know, even mechanically, she's not interesting, really. Like, I mean, like we said, like, Bob is kind of interesting, but really, she's just a character that shoots just like she's not ability-based, which is a big thing in Overwatch. Abilities are unique compared to other shooters that are just shooting each other. And Ash is mostly just shooting, like... Even that, they didn't even, like, question it, and that's a little, that's just, like, really disappointing, I don't know.
Plus, there's also the added thing of, like, Overwatch really still doesn't have women who are fat, and women who look visibly aged, other than Anna. Like, Ash should at least look tired. Like, there's just so many things going on here.
I'm scared it's just of boring. Them making, like, a fat woman, because Rodog is garbage in that sense. But
oh, absolutely. Yeah,
because Rodog still irritates me, honestly.
Rodog, like, still irritates the shit out of me. Like, the fact that they made him so gross.
Yeah.
And
they added the voice line. Like, the thing that actually really, like, gets me mad whenever I hear it actually in game is, like, when, like, Rodog farts or whatever in the game, like, as a sound effect that's unique, that's random to Rodog, because he's big. That, like, actually irritates me whenever I hear it in game. Like, it bugs me. Because they're really horrible about that. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm afraid.
Yeah. So, I think that was kind of our, I guess this is a whole episode, just basically our wrap up of BlizzCon, which is totally fine, because that's basically what we were kind of focused on over the last week. Anyways,
there was a lot of talk about Ash and you know, the Diablo stuff on Twitter and stuff that I feel like I digested over the week.
Yeah, same.
Especially with like the league stuff, like the league KDA stuff, and everybody like suddenly comparing the two with Overwatch. Like, it's just been interesting.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, League also has some fucking sins to answer for. Not even touching the like Riot stuff with like allegations and things like that, but just like that all of their heroes have gone through growing pains of like being not that diverse and having kind of shitty jokes and only having like one or two gay characters, but they did the thing with the KDA stuff and that, God, I could just talk about that for a whole hour, but we're already out of time. But it's just interesting to see them at least approach pop culture versus like Overwatch that doesn't in a lot of ways, despite being in the future.
We had DJ Khaled at Overwatch League.
And another one! So, I think that's probably about it for us. So I'm going to probably go and watch Popstar about 10 million more times.
Yeah.
Because that's consumed my life, because I'm gay. But, Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter, at Tyler Culp, TylerCulp. I write for Blizzard Watch, and I stream for them. It's just blizzardwatch.com, but the twitch.tv/blizzardwatch. I also have a Wrecking Ball guide if you want to know how to play the hamster. It's on Fanbyte. Fanbyte.com? Is that the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I just went up. Yeah, that's it. Oh, my YouTube. My YouTube is just youtube.com/Tyler_Culp.
And you can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider Witch. You can find me on Twitch at Apple Cider Witch, and I also stream at Blizzard Watch as well. Also, if you want to follow the show, you can follow us on Twitter at MISFcast. You can also send any questions to makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. We did get a question from last week, but we didn't have time to read it, so
we'll
read
it next week. 100%.
You'll do it next week. Yeah. If you also want to send questions for next week, maybe we'll do like a big grab bag.
Yeah.
Episode,
go on Twitter, but... you know, send our podcast to Jessica Price, help her out. She can't find
Google!
Any criticism.
Google shit, Jessica Price.
She needs help. We gotta help her.
She needs a lot more than help. Anyway. If you do like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. Also, word of mouth really helps us get out of there. Like, we got a couple bumps this week because of the whole Jessica Price discourse gig or whatever.
Thanks for linking that and mentioning us. It was cool.
I
was surprised. Like, I did like a double take reading the thread and was like, wait, is that they linking a podcast and it's about Rhett? That's ours. Okay.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, I guess we're games criticism. I'm excited. So if you do like us, please share us. It does mean a lot. Rate and review us on iTunes. Tell all your friends. Also, our intro and outro music was done by Maddie Myers, and you can find all of her stuff at MIDIMYERS.net or Midi Myers on Twitter. And we will see you next time.
Bye.